Blog Talk Radio.
Hi and welcome to Equestrian Legacy Radio. We're glad to have you with us today. We've got an exciting show with a guest that I think you're going to want to speak with, and that's Miss Tracy Pinson, who is in Shelbyville, Tennessee this week for the Extreme Cowboy Racing National Championships. But before we talk to Tracy, we have a guest that's going to talk with us about the situation in Oklahoma. I know that this week we've all been touched by the tragedy there and by the loss of life, the loss of property, and the loss of livestock and animals. And so our first guest today is Mr. J.W. Morgan. And J.W. has gotten together with some folks, and they have a program that he's going to tell us about as far as relief for some of the horses that have been injured out there. So, J.W., welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Gary.
And tell us what your program is and how people can participate.
Well, what we've done is pretty much yesterday morning at the drop of a hat, I was trying to come up with a way that we could do something for the good folks out in Oklahoma to try to help. The images that I kept seeing of the Orr family farm, where there were once 80 head of horses in a barn, that there was nothing left but the concrete hallway. And I just couldn't get it out of my mind. And so I made a few phone calls to some friends of mine in the cutting horse industry and tried to find some contact information of some people that could genuinely use our help. And shortly thereafterwards, I got a hold of Joe Green with Celebration Feeds, and we come up with a type of feed. And Joe was nice enough to get the price down to where we'd make it affordable for everybody to donate. And I put the challenge out on my wall on Facebook for, you know, all of my friends to buy one bag of feed, you know, and we just kind of see where it went from there. And so far, with just a little over 24 hours into it, we have managed to, on just the plant side alone, we have managed to come up with 4,500 pounds of feed to take to Oklahoma. Shortly after I got it started, a friend of mine brought it to my attention that we needed to be able to come up with a way to make it tax deductible. So we got Kathy Zeiss involved with FAST, and of course they're 501(c). And now we're able to take checks directly to FAST and through FAST PayPal account. And I don't have any numbers on those yet as to how much we've gotten on their end. But so far, it looks really promising.
Well, that's fantastic, J.W. Now, the people that are listening, if they want to contribute, how can they do that?
All right. We got to stay in contact with Joe Green if you want to deal directly with the plant. The Celebration Feed Store there in Shelbyville can take your donation, but it really needs to be in the form of a check. The way their computer system's set up, they may not be able to track it and account for it if we do it by credit card there. But if you'd like to use a credit card, you can contact Joe Green directly, and he'll process it through the plant, and they can track it.
And, okay.
And Heather Beard at L&M Awards has offered to be able to, from 8 to 4 today and tomorrow, or she'll be closed Saturday, that she'll take donations in and, you know, for as a drop-off point for FAST.
All right. So now I've got a number for Joe, I think. Is that 615-274-2661?
That's it.
Okay, and I believe you can also contact Joe by email, and that's jgreen@celebrationfeeds.com as well.
That's
so,
great.
All right, now, and I think too, JW, there's a website that has detailed information as well, and that is www.TennesseeWalkingHorseToday.com. TennesseeWalkingHorseToday.com, and on that website, I believe you have the information that we just talked about, as well as information to get in touch with FAST if people need to make donations through their 501c3 organization. Is that correct?
Yes, sir, and we really need to take a minute and thank Donna Parton for all her effort in putting that together. That's something she just kind of done on her own with no compensation from any outside sources. She cares enough about the horse and the breed to take time out of her day to try to help us promote in all the positive ways that we can.
And she's done the website and is the administrator for that.
That's correct.
Okay. Well, that's fantastic. You know, the Tennessee Walking Horse community is really a big family, and the greater horse community is a large family. And so when we have disasters that strike, it's great that people are willing to give of their time and their funds to help with situations like the one that's happened in Oklahoma. So now I believe, JW, I was reading a little bit about this earlier today, and you're providing the transportation out there, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
For the feed?
My wife and I sat down and talked about it and thought it would be a really good idea. We're going to, as it stands right now, we're going to donate a 2-ton truck, and when it gets full, we're going to put a 30-foot gooseneck behind it, and if we manage to fill it up, we'll put another truck on it. And however much feed we can manage to collect through our donations, we are going to ensure that it gets on a truck and gets to Oklahoma. And as a matter of fact, I've been on the phone all day. I've talked to a veterinary clinic just outside of Moore that's got 27 head in there, and people are coming in and checking on their horses that have literally lost everything. There's people picking up horses that are not that bad off, and if their fences are in good repair, they're taking them home and turning them out, and the horse will be the only thing on the property. You know, it's really a heartbreaking situation.
Well, that's great. Well, listen, you're to be commended, JW, for providing the vehicles to get this feed for the relief of these horses out there. And I think I also saw that FAST was going to contribute the fuel.
Yes,
after
a short argument there, I was pretty insistent that we'd go ahead and take care of it, but Kathy was very convincing, and so FAST has made a contribution to the fuel to get it out there, and of course, you know, every little bit's going to help.
Well, that's fantastic.
Also, I didn't include that when me and Joe talked about it, that not only did celebration fees discount the feed a dollar a bag to get us down to 10 on it, where it'd be a good even number, they are basically going to match our contribution by 20%.
That's fantastic. So for every $10 that a person contributes, they're going to contribute a dollar to that. So that's terrific.
Basically the way it'll work out is if we come up with 10 tons of feed and donation, celebration feed's going to put 2 more tons on the trailer.
That's fantastic. Now, JW, let me ask you this. How long can people contribute to this, and when do you anticipate trying to start out to Oklahoma with this feed?
Well, what we've come up with, and, you know, of course, everybody, you know, you have to kind of bear with us a little bit here because, you know, this is less than 24 hours in, and I'm really appreciative of everybody that's been helping so far. But our plan for the moment is to let it run until after the fun show is over with. We hadn't come up with a definitive cutoff date yet, but I'm thinking somewhere in the lines of Monday.
Okay.
And just as quick as we get everything accounted for to make sure that you know, that we hadn't forgot anybody or anything, we'll get the truck loaded, and the truck should roll out by, if we cut it off Monday, I'm expecting we could probably load Tuesday and leave Tuesday afternoon.
Well, that's terrific. So I ask that because we don't want people to put off with their donations and their contributions to this. And again, you can find complete information and contact information on www.TennesseeWalkingHorseToday.com. That's TennesseeWalkingHorseToday.com. Or you can contact Joe Green at jgreen@celebrationfeeds.com. And his number is 615-274-2661. And then I believe you also said Heather Beard at L&M Awards in Shelbyville. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, JW, I appreciate you taking the time to tell us about this program this morning. I appreciate the efforts that you're putting into this to get this done to help those folks out there, because I know it's horrible. I talked with, I believe it was Tony Evans yesterday, who handles the media relations for Orr Family Farms, and he said that the buildings were just gone out there. And so there's it's a tremendous need for people to be able to help. So thanks again for being on the show, and I look forward to talking with you and seeing you soon, JW. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thank you, Gary.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, be sure and contact TennesseeWalkingHorseToday.com for complete information on this. It's a great effort, and again, we're a family in the horse industry, and so we want to do what we can to help these folks. We're excited today to have the Queen of the Cowboys with us, and that's Miss Tracy Pinson. And we've had more response and interest in Tracy being on the show than any of the shows that we've done previously. And so, Tracy, I think that's a compliment to you, because a lot of folks really think the world of you and respect what you've been doing in this sport. And by the way,
thank you for having me, Gary.
Well, thanks for being with us. And we want to remind folks that this is a call-in show, so if you have questions that you'd like to call in, the phone number is 213-943-3396, 213-943-3396. So we'll be taking your calls so you can talk with Tracy and ask her your questions. And again, Tracy, so glad that you're with us today. And let's start out and tell us a little bit about you and how you got involved in horses to begin with.
Well, it all goes back to a little girl, like most little girls were. I just loved horses. I looked at pictures, and I drew pictures, and I wrote stories and did everything I could to try to convince my mom and dad that I needed to have a horse. And finally, I rolled my eyes at my dad enough that we managed to find one, and it was a rescue horse from the SPCA in our town, and the rest is history. Anybody that has horses knows once you get it in your blood, it's kind of hard to get out, and you start collecting them eventually. So I won't say how many years ago, but it's been quite a few years ago. I was 8 when I started riding. So
wow. Well, horses are kind of like potato chips. You can't just eat one. You can't just have one. So that's great. How did you get involved in walking horses? How did you go from the rescue horse to the Tennessee walking horse?
Well, as it turned out, the rescue horse was some sort of a gated horse. We thought it had maybe Arabian and walking horse in it, and she did a little shuffle every once in a while. And my mom had ridden some when she was a child, and she knew what the gate was, and we found a trainer in our area down there, the late Mr. J.L. Conkle. And we took that mare over there and asked if he could bring the gate out in her just a little bit. And they did a great job, and we ended up at this barn full of walking horses. And we just couldn't get over all the great dispositions and everything that you can do with the horses. And so I can proudly say I've never owned a trotting horse.
Oh, gosh. Well, the walking horses are a great breed. So did you start out showing or trail riding or a combination, or what was the involvement there?
Well, I started out falling off a lot, but after I learned how to stay upright on the horse, the barn that we were at there, they did show quite a bit. So we jumped right into showing and obviously got hooked on that, and I had everything from padded horses to flat shod horses, and I had a little pony that I would run in all the barrels and poles and all the little game classes and everything. So I started out doing everything, and now as I age, I'm still trying to do everything as long as my body will let me. So.
Oh, gosh. I've watched some of the videos of you in competition, and when I watch those, I think my body couldn't do that. I'm just
my mind is there and my body is there while I'm doing it, and the next day it's cussing at me pretty good. So it's a lot of fun though. But when your adrenaline starts running and everything else, it's a feeling you can't describe. I've done a lot of different things with the horses, but the cowboy racing's kind of captured my heart. I've always liked to have the speed element, running barrels and poles and everything, and then the trail obstacle part of it, and the cowboy racing just kind of put all that together for me. So, and then it incorporated, I did some equitation, and so that's incorporated. There's a lot of horsemanship and everything involved in it. So,
well, I know that when I first learned of the extreme cowboy racing, it was I guess when Craig Cameron was getting started on RFD TV with the segment that he did, and I found that I was trying to make sure I either taped it, or that tells how old I am, T-bowed it, or whatever that we do with those things, so that I could watch the shows. How did you get involved with the Extreme Cowboy?
Well, what the show, actually, Wayne was sitting in the living room one day, and he said, "You've got to come see this. You've got to come see this." And I go in there, and I see these cowboys running through ditches and over hills and spinning around and roping and doing everything. And I said, "Well, I could do that." And he said, "Are you crazy? Just look at what they're doing." And I said, "No, we could do that." I said, I'll get tough saddled up, and we'll start practicing. And so I got on the computer to try to find out more about the extreme cowboy races, and I found out that the closest race to us there in Florida was in North Carolina. So I got in touch with the lady that was coordinating the race and everything, and asked a whole bunch of questions and drove the lady crazy for a couple weeks, and we put him on the trailer and drove all the way to North Carolina, which was about a 9 or 10 hour drive for us. Had no idea what we were getting into. We got there, and we the first course that we went through went fairly well, aside from a little dip in the lake that was unexpected. And you know, we watched a lot of other people and learned, and the way the scoring works, the judges let you see your scorecard, and they make comments and things like that, so you can learn what to do better. And so we came back for the next round, and we took the learnings from that and did a little better, and we ended up winning our first cowboy race up there.
Wow.
And the judges came to us afterwards and, you know, congratulated us and stuff, and I said, "I just want to thank you guys for being objective," because a lot of times when we do open-type events with a gated horse, because they're set up, their headset's high, and, you know, they're just a whole different look. It doesn't look like your typical stock horse out there on a cowboy course. And the judges said, "You know what? A broke horse is a broke horse. A good horse is a good horse. It doesn't matter
Amen.
What breed it is." And I said, from that time on, I said, "This is a sport that I want to be involved in." You know, and it's held up, and we've won a couple world championships in there. And I can honestly say that, you know, it doesn't matter what gate your horse does, as long as you can get through the obstacles and you've got the speed and the horsemanship, you know, they're going to judge you objectively. So,
well, is there a particular type of horse that's better suited for the extreme cowboy racing as far as disposition or body makeup, or does that make any difference?
Well, you know, I get asked that question a lot, actually. People say, what kind of a horse do you look for when you buy a cowboy horse? And I said, well, first of all, I haven't bought anything. I've raised all mine. So
there we go.
but for me, when I'm starting my young ones, I want one that is actually more to the lazy side. Because in cowboy racing, you've got to have one that has the speed, but they need to be able to turn it off pretty quickly. Because we might be asked to run full out all the way around the field or the arena, and then stop and stand up and ring a bell. You know, stand up in our saddle, ring a bell. We might have to stop, ground tie, and do things. So they need to be able to turn that speed off quickly. And typically, a horse that has a lazier nature can turn it off and on pretty quick. So. Yeah, that's one of the first things, and the other thing is they need to be brave, you know, and that's something that you can teach one, but they have to have a lot of that in their DNA and their makeup and everything. So, you know, we start with our babies. We'll lead them through obstacles and stuff, and I'll see which ones, you know, have a tendency to really enjoy it, and those are the ones I'll usually try to bring along to do the obstacles and cowboy races with.
Now, how long has Tuff been participating?
That first race was in May of 2009. And,
2009.
He's been going pretty strong ever since. We found out that he really didn't like to travel by himself, so I would bring another horse, and then I thought, well, this is just silly to only bring one horse to compete with. I've got this other one on the trailer, and so I started competing with a couple of other horses, and then now I've got another one we call Buford. His registered name is Texan at the Ritz that we've been competing with for the last 2 years. And then this year I started in the Green Horse division, which are the ones that are the babies that are just getting involved in it. We've got Tuff's first offspring that's a little 3-year-old filly.
Okay. So is 3 about the best time to start with one? Wouldn't start earlier?
Actually, we've been working with her since she was a little baby, you know, either leading through or just, you know, riding through some of the obstacles. But the cowboy racing it's a pretty grueling sport. It's only, the courses are typically 3 to 6 minutes long, but it's all out while you're going out there, if you're competitive in it. And to ask one that's younger than 3 to really put it all out there like that, I'm just not going to do that to one. So.
Yeah. Well, I understand that. A lot of the real athletic sports, I think you're better off to wait until the horse is a little older, 3 or 4 years old, to start to compete in that. So, now Buford, how long has he been active?
This will be his 3rd year. The first year we took him out to Oklahoma. The very first year we competed with him was 2011. And he did just phenomenal. We were very, very proud of him. We have, in the cowboy racing, we have to qualify to get to the world finals. And I qualified him in my non-pro division, which I competed in out there. And then the only people within the EXCA that can compete on different horses other than the ones that they qualify on are people in Hawaii and in the international people. And so we loaned Buford out to a young lady from Hawaii that ended up, she was 2011, she was reserve world champion youth, and then last year she repeated that and won another buckle in there. So it was, that always makes me feel good that somebody else can take my horse and go out there and compete as well on him.
Well, and that's great that you're willing to let somebody else get that experience and use one of your horses like that. So that's fantastic. While you were talking about these things, what are the different divisions in Extreme Cowboy and how are they broken down?
There are 7 different divisions. They have the Young Guns, which are the 11 and under. They have a youth division, which goes up to 17. They have a novice division, which is one that's for people that are new to cowboy racing. They may not be new to riding or, you know, obstacle competitions, but they're new to the cowboy racing. And then they have the Ride Smart division, which is for over 55. They have the non-pro division, which is where I compete, which is for people that have been in the sport for a little while, have a little bit of experience, but they don't make their living training horses.
Okay.
And then we've got the pro division, which is for the people that do make their living doing that. But they also allow people to ride up. So you may see a non-pro rider that also goes into the pro division too.
Okay. Now, are you competing in non-pro yourself?
I am, yes, sir.
Okay. All right. If I wanted to get involved in the Extreme Cowboy, and already I know that I would have to be in the Ride Smart, the old guys division, but how would I go about doing that?
Well, the first thing that I'd suggest to people, if you can find somebody that's already doing it, it's best to get a mentor in the, you know, in the business, because you can get a whole lot of information and learning and everything. And that's one thing that I will have to say about the Extreme Cowboy Racers. We help each other. You know, you'll see somebody helping muck stalls to, you know, helping them remember their course. And when we do our walkthroughs, we'll explain, you know, how we can best maneuver an obstacle and everything, and everybody's cheering each other on and so on. So, you know, it's a really great group of people. So if you ever get to an event, just ask a lot of questions, and people would be glad to help you. There's also a website for the Extreme Cowboy Association. It's www.extremecowboyassociation.com. And it's got all the information on there about how to join. It has all of the sanctioned events on there. It keeps, you can see the points, how everybody stands within their different division and nationally and everything. But there's a number of events everywhere. California has a big group out there that does it. We have one in the Southeast. Our club is the Southern Obstacle Challenge Association, that we put on five races a year, including this one that we're having this weekend at the Celebration Grounds. And there's several up north that are starting. There's a group in Kentucky. Texas has quite a few, and then there's several out in Kansas and even up into Washington. So wherever you are, there should be a group somewhere relatively close. And there's also several international groups, too, that have started in Sweden, Norway, France, South Africa, also have affiliated groups there that put on sanctioned races.
Well, that's great. I mean, and our show does reach worldwide, so we have an audience that listens in Europe as well as here in the United States. So it's good information to know that that they're involved in some international competition now. So, and I guess all of that information as far as finding local organizations could be found on the Extreme Cowboy website.
Yep, it's all there. It's a great website. It's got all the rule books. It's got a list of judges. It's got everything on there. So I would encourage anybody that's interested to look there. And also, my personal email address is tlpinson, P-I-N-S-O-N, at AOL.com. I'll be glad to answer questions and show you how to get involved. And when we have races, I love to walk with, you know, some of the novice riders and give them some tips on how to improve their scores, you know, and how to maneuver some of the obstacles and things like that. So I'll be glad to help anybody get hooked like I am.
All right. Well, that's exciting. I plan on being there on Saturday, because I certainly want to meet you and see this, you know, live and in person. I've seen it on TV, and I've watched your video, so I'm excited to be able to come over on Saturday and see it firsthand. We're going to take
this. Are you going to try it on Tough?
I don't know about that. I don't know about that. Maybe I'll watch first. That might be
okay.
The best thing for me to do. Let me remind our callers, or let me remind our listeners again, that this is a call-in show, and we're talking with Tracy Pinson about the Extreme Cowboy Race that she's involved in this weekend in Shelbyville, Tennessee, at the Celebration Grounds. But we want you to call in and ask your questions. We actually are going to do a trivia question right now, and so this is one that you may or may not know. But the trivia question is, what is Tuff's registered name? What is Tuff's registered name? And if you call in and you have the right answer, then we're going to send you the obstacle trail training clinic that Tracy did for the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association some time ago. And I have that DVD, and it's a great one. So let me encourage you again, if you'd like to call in and ask questions of Tracy, the number is 213-943-3396. 213-943-3396. 3396. And I mentioned before we did our first show, Tracy, where we didn't take any calls, and we had a ton of people that called. And the next show we took calls, and nobody called in. So with a live show,
everybody I know is here. So I don't know. I don't think any of my friends are going to call in and win that trivia question.
Oh gosh. Well, maybe some of our other folks will decide to call in and ask questions and see if they can answer the trivia question about Tufts registered name.
I hope so.
Tell me a little bit about the event that's going on this weekend in Shelbyville. The dates on that are, what, the 24th and 25th? That's this Friday and Saturday.
Yes. Yep. We are hosting our club, as I mentioned, the Southern Obstacle Challenge Association, or what we call SOCA, was given the privilege of hosting the EXCA National Championships here at the Celebration Grounds. And the Celebration Grounds has taken the field out in front of the entry office here, and they've dug holes and filled with water, and they've put up jumps, and there's some hills where they took the dirt out of the ground. They've built some hills for us to climb, and there's all sorts of things that they've set up out there. So we're really excited to be here. And for me personally, I'm from Florida, but Shelbyville is my Tennessee walking horse home. So it's kind of a great feeling to be here, to be able to do an extreme cowboy race here on the Celebration Grounds. So we hope everybody can come out and watch. We've got over 90 entries in this race, which when you're talking about runs that go individually that can be from 3 to 6 minutes, we're going to have a long couple of days tomorrow and Saturday. But we have people all the way from up in Illinois, Indiana, Kentucky, Florida, North and South Carolina, Texas, Oklahoma, Louisiana, Mississippi. I think we counted about 14 states. Oh, and Tennessee, too.
Well, that's great. So that's exciting. Well, I've got a couple of callers here. Let me get to one and see who we have here. So you're on the air. Who am I speaking with?
This is Shauna Davenport.
Well, hi, Shauna.
Hey,
how are you?
Hey, I'm great. I love you, Tracy.
Oh, gosh.
I love you, too, and we're going to work you really hard the next 2 days.
Oh, gosh. Well, Shauna, do you have an answer for the trivia question?
Skyjackers Mountain High.
Oh, well, you've gotten that. That's right. So that's great. And somebody hung up after they heard that answer, but we want you to call and ask your question. So, don't just call for the DVD, but talk to Tracy and ask her the questions that you might have. Shauna, do you participate in the Extreme Cowboy?
I do. I'm actually a member of SOCA, and the reason I got started, I did one of the races in Winchester. And I actually met Tracy, and I was on a young horse, and it was one of those things where it was really stupid. I took a horse out there that I didn't know what I was doing, and she didn't know what she was doing, and they were so kind to me. They were so very kind, and Tracy was very encouraging. So I love the group, and the races are fun. It's a really great organization.
Well, how long have you been involved in it, Shauna?
This will be my second year.
Well, great, great. So are you you're competing this weekend?
Actually, I'm volunteering. Since they come up to Tennessee, I thought I would help out. I try to go down there and go to the different states when I can. And I was like, well, they're coming to Tennessee, so I'll help out. I'll help out.
Oh, that's great. That is great. Well, 90-something riders that are participating in this, it should be a lot of fun. And, Shauna, let me ask you to do this. If you would, go to equestrianlegacy.net, the website,
okay.
equestrianlegacy.net, and if you will put your, in the comments, put your name and address, I'll get this DVD out to you this week. And so, so it's a great DVD. I don't know if you've seen it, but I enjoyed looking at it, and apparently some of our other callers were calling in to try to get the DVD because they've hung up. But let me encourage folks.
We can get them a DVD, too.
There you go.
I need all the help I can get, so I need it to DVD, too.
Okay.
Will
all
you
right.
Just come down there and stay with me for a couple of days. We'll get you all fixed up, Shauna.
Oh, that'd be awesome. That'd be awesome.
All right. Well, that's great. Well, listen, Shauna, thanks for calling in. And if you'll go to the website, equestrianlegacy.net, and put that information in, I'll get that out to you. And maybe you'll learn something. I don't know. I did.
I'm sure I will. I look at that. You know, the help I can get.
All right. Thank you so much.
You.
I appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Shauna. We'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. That's great. Well, you know, if you call back in, we may have another DVD or two that we might to pull up. So, matter of fact, I'll throw out another trivia question for folks. And this one kind of ties in. If you can tell me the name of Tuff's daddy, his registered name. And I think he was the sire of the year, wasn't he, Tracy?
He was in 2004, actually.
Yeah. It was a great horse. I know that you participated with him, and we won't say his name, but I believe you participated in some of the versatility program with him as well.
I did. He was a Supreme Versatility Champion, and that's something I usually try to do with all my horses and get them through that program with Tweeva. I've been a big supporter of that over the years, and it just helps you have a well-rounded horse that can do things in the show ring as well as, you know, on the versatility side of things as well. But, yeah, we called him Hunter, so I won't give away his registered name, but we called him Hunter, and I truly thought we had a horse of a lifetime when we had him, and when we lost him, and Tuff was one of the last offspring that we had from him. I didn't know if I had it in me to try again, but Tuff kind of won me over, and I was there the night that he was born, and we've just been a team ever since.
Well, the two of you together have been superstars in that competition, so that's great. Now, I will help folks out just a little bit. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe that Hunter was sired by Pride's Gold Coin. Is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
Okay. All right, so that's a little bit of a hint for folks that might want to call in to 213-943-3396. 213-943-3396. So if you can tell us who Skyjacker's Mountain High's daddy was, and he was by Pride's Gold Coin.
You kind of gave it away.
that's much as I can do as far as hinting on that one. But call back in, ask your questions, and we'll get another DVD out to the person that can call in and give us the answer to that one.
Well, Gary, Tracy, can you guess what kind of mare that Tuff is out of?
You know, I can't. And I'm ashamed of that because I'm a broodmare guy.
Think about his registered name.
I think I did probably a mountain manling.
Yes, sir.
There we go. I put that one. Thanks for the hint. That was good. Well, we've got another caller on here, so let's see who we have and where they're from. And how are you? You're on the air. Who am I speaking
Hi, how
with?
Are you?
Good.
This is Kelly Duchel.
Hi, Kelly. How are
Kelly.
You doing?
Good.
Good. Now, where are you from, Kelly?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Okay. Yeah. Do you have an answer to the trivia question?
I do. Coins Skyjacker.
Coins Skyjacker. Very good. Very good. So we've got another DVD that's going out to Kelly. Kelly, do you have a question for Tracy?
Well, no, not so much a question as much as, you know, I'm really fascinated at what she does. You know, I've been in walking horses my entire life, so I won't tell you how long that is, but it's been a while. And I told someone I've always shown performance, and I told someone just recently, I said, I feel like I'm almost rediscovering our breed with all these different versatility type outlets that we have now. And I'm by far nowhere in her league to ride that, but I'm very fascinated by that.
Oh, that's
it's a lot of fun.
Are you going to be in? Are you going to be in Shelbyville this weekend?
No, not this weekend. I'm not. No.
Okay.
I'm watching
everything
from afar right now.
I understand. Well, we have the spring fun show is going on in Shelbyville at the Celebration Grounds this week. Actually, it starts tonight. And of course, the Extreme Cowboy Nationals will be there at the same time. And I believe that starts at 10 o'clock in the morning, doesn't it, Tracy?
Actually, we've moved it up to 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
We've had so many entries, we had to move it up to 9 so that we get everybody done before the sun goes down.
Well, that's great. That's great. Kelly, do you have a horse that you think might want to try an Extreme Cowboy?
Not a horse yet, but I have a daughter that's about your age when you started, and she's definitely geared towards anything and everything on our horses. So, I have a feeling that we could go this path with her if we keep moving. So we're definitely, I'm definitely looking for horses that are more versatile like this that can do all this. And like I said, you have the Extreme Cowboy, and I've kind of learned about the kind of whole agility with them where, if I didn't want to ride, I can do some of these obstacles, in the mm-hmm. agility courses. So mm-hmm. all in the same kind of under the same umbrella.
Yep. There's a lot of different avenues, and that's something when we started our club down there that we found there's so many people out there that want to do some different things with their horses. They may not be necessarily be interested in showing, but they want to compete on some level. And then there's other people that do our obstacle challenges and everything just so they can get to be a better team with their horse and just find out what they'll do for them. So.
Well, that's exciting. The Breeders Association has a versatility program, and I believe the Extreme Cowboy is now part of the versatility program, and so we're continuing to expand.
They did add a category. Mm-hmm.
They did.
They added extreme. I think they include like cowboy mounted shooting and things like that in there as well. But
right.
I've had people over the years say, "Well, you can't do that with a walking horse," and why not? They're a horse. They can do anything. We just don't trot.
Well, they can do just about anything. We have in a couple of weeks we've got Marty Luffman that's going to be a guest on the show, and Marty has traveled all across the country with his walking horse Doc Holliday, competing in the cowboy mounted shooting, and he travels both here and I believe he's traveled to Europe to put on some clinics as well. So walking horses can do. Everything that another breed can do, but with the added benefit of the gait. So that's a real plus for that. Kelly, if you will go to equestrianlegacy.net and leave your name and address for me, we'll get a DVD out to you this week.
I appreciate it, and I appreciate what you're doing for our breed and Tracy for giving some exposure to our horse. So thanks, guys.
Well, thanks so
much
for calling in. Bye-bye, Kelly.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. I think we have more people that like the trivia than they do just to ask questions, Tracy, but that's okay. That is all
right. Some people are afraid to talk on the radio.
Well, I think so. But when we do this show, it's more of a conversation, and so it's just horse people talking with horse people. And that's a good thing, and it's informative for people. Regardless whether you have a walking horse or whether you have another breed of horse, I hope that the programming that we do with Equestrian Legacy Radio will be interesting to people of all breeds and disciplines. So that's our goal. We want to make people aware of what the Tennessee walking horse is capable of, but shows that people with any breed can enjoy listening to. When we come down to the Extreme Cowboy Nationals tomorrow, what can we expect to see?
Oh, goodness. We'll start the day with our young gun riders, which are little 11 and under kids, and they're just as down and determined as all of our professional riders. And you'll see everything from jumping to, like I mentioned earlier, they've dug some huge holes out there in the celebration front lawn, and we've got water to run through. We've got some cowboy curtains, which is they're usually some sort of tarp or streamy things that hang down that we go through. In addition to that, you'll see lots of jumping and running, the signature free ride, which just about every cowboy course that we run, we start with a free ride, which is for the highest scores. You typically do it as fast and wide open as you can run one with control. And then we usually end the same with a free ride. So, and in between that, you'll see all sorts of obstacles. I don't know specifically what they're going to have, other than those that I've physically seen out there. But
right.
there's usually some sort of roping, dragging. We've done everything from bareback riding to double riding to shooting. There's a little of everything in there. You never know what, but the folks that we have coming in for this race are some of the best in the country. There's several world champions that are going to be competing there for the next couple days. Like I said, it's just going to be a great event. I'm really excited for it.
Well, we're excited that it's in Shelbyville, and I appreciate the fact that Celebration has hosted this thing this year, and I wondered what that area would look like between the offices and the highway. So I'm glad to hear they've dug holes and built mounds out there, because that should be exciting to watch. And you never know who might decide they want to get involved in that as well. Now, you'll run, I think I was reading that everyone will run one course tomorrow, and then they'll do a second course on Saturday. Is that right?
Correct. And they'll take the scores from both of those runs, combine those, and that's how the winners in each of the divisions will be determined.
Okay.
And yes, back to the Celebration, we can't say thank you enough for hosting us here. They've been just fantastic. We've taken over four of the barns here that are usually occupied by the Walking Horse folks, and they've graciously let us take over their facility. And the folks here at the Celebration Grounds have been just fantastic as far as putting together obstacles. And I've heard rumors that they're going to build a permanent course back in the one of the back fields of the Celebration Grounds. So,
that'd be fantastic.
Other events. Yeah,
that would be fantastic.
So maybe we'll have extreme cowboy racing as a world championship event at the Celebration someday.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, that's right. We'll have to talk to those folks and see if we can get them to do that. You know, it really is great exposure for extreme cowboy to have it going on in conjunction with the Spring Fun Show, and that will bring a lot of exposure to a new sport for people that are not familiar with it, and maybe have a lot more folks that decide to get involved with their walking horses in that. So that's an exciting thing.
I'm really excited too, because like I mentioned earlier, this is kind of my second home here, and being in the heart of the walking horses and everything, to be able to share both my worlds together like this is just it's kind of a dream come true for me. And there's been a lot of people that have asked, they wanted to see the cowboy racing live and everything, so we're glad to bring it. And then we're going to do in the opening ceremonies of the fun show tonight, after the traditional flag horse and everything, we've got one of our members singing the national anthem, as well as giving the invocation tonight. So
we're
great. Very proud to be involved there. And then we're going to do a short exhibition with several of our extreme cowboy race riders. And I've heard rumors that I might do an exhibition with Tuff tomorrow night. I haven't confirmed
fantastic.
All that yet. But
fantastic. Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to this weekend, both at the Spring Fun Show, and I'm really excited about being at the Extreme Cowboy Nationals and getting a chance to meet you. Tracy, any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our listeners today?
No, I just want to encourage everybody that, you know, whether you have a walking horse or any breed of horse, there's a lot of things that you can get involved in out there. Just go have fun with your horse. That's the main thing. You know, this for the majority of us, this isn't a business. This is a hobby and a passion. And I just encourage everybody to go out and ask your horse what it's good at and go figure out how to get it done.
Well, that's great. And it's you know, people love horses. As you started out with love at 8 years old, I think I was even younger than that. My dad had horses as far back as I can remember, and walking horses from 1957 and on, not to give my age away at all. But anyway, Tracy, I appreciate so much you taking the time to talk with us today. I encourage everybody to go out and see Extreme Cowboy Racing for yourself. And it starts at 9 o'clock on Friday and Saturday at the Celebration Grounds in Shelbyville, Tennessee. And I know you're going to have a blast if you go out and see this. And I'll be looking for you and Tuff and Buford, and look forward to meeting you then.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Well, thank you so much. Talk to you soon, Tracy.
Thanks, Gary.
Bye-bye. Right, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Well, I appreciate Tracy spending time with us today, and please go out and get a look at Extreme Cowboy Racing. I think you'll find it exciting and fun, and something that whatever your level or your age is, you can get involved in. So I'm glad to know that old folks like me have a division that they could get involved in. A couple of things I'd like to mention today. Again, let me remind you of the disaster relief effort that is going on to help folks that have lost so much out in Oklahoma. And for detailed information on that, again, you can go to www.TennesseeWalkingHorseToday.com. That's TennesseeWalkingHorseToday.com. And that website has information on how you can participate and donate to help the folks out in Oklahoma. One other thing that I want to mention, too, is that last week we had Ola Archer on, and they have started a Facebook page called Tennessee Walking Horses Friends Helping Friends. It's TWH, Friends Helping Friends. And as we mentioned before, the walking horse community is a big family. And there's a fundraising effort that's going on to help Connie and Bill Bobo. Connie has been very sick for the past couple of years with a couple of very rare diseases that have taken an extreme financial toll on that family. And right now they have a donation of a stud fee to the 2002 World Grand Champion out on parole. And that was donated by Randall and Sadie Baskin, who own that great World Grand Champion. And you can bid online for the stud fee. And all of that money will go to help the Bobo family out. The bidding started at 8 o'clock this morning and will end at 6 p.m. on Sunday night. So visit their Facebook page, TWH, Friends Helping Friends. And if you're not on Facebook, we've posted information on our website, equestrianlegacy.net, that will tell you how you can contribute with phone calls or text messages. Also, if you don't choose to bid on the stud fee, there has been an account set up to help the Bobo family out, and information is located on our website there, too. So that you could make a donation to help this great family out that's been so well known in the walking horse community. So we encourage you to take the time to take a look at that. A couple of other things just quickly that we wanted to mention. Again, this radio program reaches people worldwide, and there are different events that are going on very soon. The Heart of America Walking Horse Association is having their Spring Classic in Mount Vernon, Missouri. And that starts on May 31st and runs through June 1st. They have 39 classes there. The Columbia Spring Jubilee is in Columbia, Tennessee, and that's May 31st and June 1st as well. So there'll be 42 classes of great horses. The Pleasure Walking Horse Association has their Jamboree in Shelbyville that is on June the 1st. That starts at 4 in the afternoon, and they have 48 classes for that show. So a lot of events that are going on here at this Labor Day period, Memorial Day period, excuse me. And so get out and visit these shows, support them, and participate there. One of the things that I want to mention, and please make plans to attend this, and that is the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association World Versatility Show. And that's coming up July the 25th and the 27th at the Miller Coliseum in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. It's a great time. You'll see the Tennessee Walking Horse in a lot of different disciplines there, everything from jumping to carriage driving to trail classes, and it should be a lot of fun. There'll be a trail show or a pleasure show that evening as well, so it's a lot of fun. And last year they had over 650 entries. So we encourage you to put that on your calendar and do a little practice at home and participate in the World Versatility Show that's coming up in July. And then the Futurity, the Breeders' Futurity, will be the 28th at the Miller Coliseum as well. And let me mention that sponsorships are available to help support that in these classes. You can find out more about sponsorships by contacting twhbea.com, or you can contact me at equestrianlegacy.net. And so this is a great opportunity for our young people and our older folks as well to participate in a lot of different disciplines. And if you haven't seen everything the walking horse can do, visit the show and bring some friends with you, and I think you'll enjoy very much the versatility show that's going on. They have a new sponsor this year that is providing all the awards for the versatility show, and that's equineprints.com. And so we appreciate equineprints.com and Evan Kossoff for participating in that. And then one other fun thing that we wanted to mention was that the Breeders Association on their Facebook page, the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association, has a page that's set up, and they're having a Kids and Horses on Facebook contest. And they're going to be awarding a great jacket from the Tennessee Walking Horse Breeders and Exhibitors Association. So we appreciate very much you listening in to the show today. Thanks again to Tracy Pinson for being our special guest, and for J.W. Morgan for coming on earlier to tell us about the disaster relief program. Be sure and listen in next week on Equestrian Legacy Radio as we go international. And we'll have Denise Bader Kieser and her husband, Russell Walker Kieser, from Wemding, Germany, that will be our guest. And we'll be talking about the Tennessee Walking Horse with a European flair. So be sure and join us next week on Equestrian Legacy Radio.